You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, brought to you by themortgagewarrior.com. Use home equity to reduce stress today. Call Steve at themortgagewarrior.com. It could save you thousands.
This is the home of Jerry's Percentages.
You're all pigeons. Filthy, filthy pigeons.
Shut up and drive.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050, the voice of Toronto sports.
Final half hour for the boys here on Overdrive. It's an abbreviated show because the Leafs are in Detroit tonight, and the pregame begins at 6:30. Puck drop just after 7 p.m., which means the Tap Man will be in here around 6:30, firing things
with
up.
With his mustache.
With yes, the stash.
Guy. No guy.
Yes, guy, no guy. Probably around 6:43, I would think, today.
Guns blazing, too.
Yeah, guns blazing, man.
He loves the yes, guy, no guy.
He loves the yes, guy, no guy.
You know,
but
you know. You don't look at me.
He loves a yes, guy, no guy more than life itself.
Nobody's business. And Patrick O'Sullivan will, of course, be a big part of that, too. But we got Sully in here about 30 minutes early. Thanks for popping in, buddy.
Thanks for having me, boys.
You would have played at the Joe, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
And they're getting.
I loved it.
You actually liked it?
Well, it's funny because when I was driving in, I listened to you guys usually, and
we said it was a dump.
Oh, I get your situation, and I kind of get your situation too.
Yeah,
both of you guys had bad experiences in there, but I liked it because I felt like it had some character. You know, I started playing in 2005, so it's, you know, a lot of the rinks are like the ACC; they're all the same. And right. I agree with what you guys think about the ACC as well. It's just cookie cutter, but. I always liked the Joe. I liked the weird bounces. I felt like the ice was a little bit better there because they don't have the concerts and the basketball in there. So
I will say this. I like the smell there. Little Caesar's Pizza. Like, if you don't have a piece of pizza on the way out, like, then you haven't done.
But imagine doing that 41 times a year. Like, don't you think by the end of your career in Detroit, maybe you just get used to it. It's like working in a factory or something like that.
Right. I think all the winning kind of helped out over the years.
Yeah.
The smell of winning and success.
The smell of winning, yes, and success. They call it Hockey Town, right?
Well, they created that, though. Like, who gave them? You're an American. You're from down. You
I grew up there.
Yeah, I know. So speak for your town and hockey town.
Honestly, it happened after, you know, that first cup in 97.
Yeah.
And they went on a little bit of a run, and they just made it up. Like, I remember watching the parade. I remember watching the parade as, like, a 12, 13-year-old kid. And it's like, we're Hockey Town. And the next thing you know, it was on the ice the next year.
Right. So you can't create your own nickname.
Edmonton, well, I know, but Edmonton, too.
Like, City of Champions. Like, I don't know why. Like, I mean, I don't know why.
Because of Gretzky?
Well, no, but the Eskimos, too, won five in a row, didn't they?
Yeah, there was like five or six. I mean, in the 80s, that was the City of Championships because all hell was breaking loose. It was Cups and Grey Cups and... But I think they took the sign down, I think, recently.
I'll tell you what, if the Leafs ever win a cup, they're stealing some nickname.
No, they'll make their own logo.
Right, something's coming up for sure. well, we were talking about how it really feels kind of like a changing of the guard because, like, when you were playing there early in your career, I'm sure you walked in and got spanked a couple of times.
Oh, yeah.
And now Detroit's on the way down and the Leafs are on the way up.
Yeah, it's definitely changed. I mean, if you look at the standings, look at how that Detroit team's made up. Like, they're not good. They're hard to watch. I'm not looking forward to working this game tonight because they're garbage. They are. They're not very good.
Right.
And you know, it's to me, it's just paying a price for being so good, and making the playoffs for 25 years, and I think paying part of that price is because they always tried to get in. You know, certain years maybe they shouldn't have made that deal to lose a pick to just make sure that they get in, but that's the route they've been. It's an impressive streak. It's got to come to an end at some point.
Well, hasn't their Stanley Cup technically just been making the playoffs? It seems like after a while, it
makes you understand what kind of coach Babcock is. Some of those teams he got into the playoffs, and not only that Zetterberg and Datsyuk were both hurt long term. And he still somehow got that team in.
Yeah, and if you look, it's really been 5 years since they were considered that a really good team.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, I had the unfortunate circumstance to have to play against them from the first 5 years I played, and it was scary.
I got torched where I was like, as soon as Nick Lidstrom left, I said maybe it's time to think about unloading Datsyuk, unloading Zetterberg, and see if anybody wants him. Because when Lidstrom leaves, it's time to start.
Yeah.
Like, well, you got to rebuild.
Yeah. They've been a first-round
defeat. They were living with the dream of just getting in, and that's a
they have
terrible...
They have no one coming, really, either.
Yeah, everyone's up, basically. Yeah.
No,
right?
I mean, no, the players. Yeah, like, yeah. The young prospects, they don't have much there, so.
Right. But you got an owner there that's won so much, right? And, like, that's difficult. When you, what have they been in the playoffs, 25 years in a row?
Yes.
That is quite an accomplishment and something that I can understand why you would want to.
Comes an expectation.
Well, that's the whole thing, right? Like, how do you sell? You're from the area, Sully. You know the Wolverines are moving and shaking right now. Pistons aren't necessarily great.
You know,
Tigers are always okay.
Yeah, and there's another factor in play that wouldn't really get attention nationally or not certainly not in another country like you know, in Canada where we are here. But the economy was hurt so bad there in 2008. It's really the only thing that anybody around that area has had to kind of be happy about. So I think that was an aspect of it. I think the Ilitch family understood that, you know, as corny as that sounds, I think it brought some positivity to that city. And, you know, what, like, you get to 20 years, you feel like, well, let's see how long we can run the streak off. And finally now it's at the point where, you know, you got to take a couple years to tear it down and do it properly.
You call a spade, it is what it is.
But if you look, just look at the Leafs, if you get lucky in the draft, you can turn it quick. Like, there's no reason it has to take 3 or 4 years to become good again.
They hit on 3 years in a row in the draft. Yep. I mean, they already had Riley here. They had a couple of other pieces here, clearly. I guess you could go back and say, well, they took Kadri seventh. They had Shen fifth overall. They've been picking in the top 10 for a decade, essentially. But
right.
You're right. I mean, Nylander into Marner into Matthews, couple of different pieces here or there, yep. Boom. You're moving and shaking. Trade for a goalie, acquire a first or a top four guy in Zaitsev, spend the money on a great coach.
All of a sudden, you turned it around a lot quicker than people think.
Playoff spot towards the end of January. Leafs Wings tonight on TSN 1050, pregame at 6:30. It's a big day around here and really throughout the country, worldwide for that matter, because of the power of social media. It's Bell Let's Talk Day. And I think most people are familiar with your story, Sully. You've written a book. You've been very open about it for mm-hmm. a number of years now. But take us through what this day means for you and why it's important and why you feel like speaking out is so important.
Sure. First of all, I think what Bell does is amazing, and I'm not just saying that because I work here now. But what today does with the retweets and the sharing and the money that Bell ends up putting into different programs, what that does is it just gives everybody that's struggling with anything a greater possibility of finding success in whatever form of help that they may need. And, you know, for me, I struggled while I was playing with something I never really understood that I even had. And for me, it, you know, I was abused as a kid, and, you know, what got me through that was hockey. I loved hockey more than I hated what was happening to me. And, you know, to make a long story short, nobody ended up doing anything about it. No adult, no coach, no whatever. And eventually I was able to get my father out of my life permanently. And I played junior. And, you know, I knew I didn't feel normal, but I thought, look, I'm good at hockey. I'm doing well with hockey. How bad can anything be? Right? Like, how bad could it really be? And that was kind of the issue when I was a kid growing up, because I was so good that nobody really ever took the time to think anything was wrong, right?
Well, you're so good, everyone thinks this guy's got to have it made in the shade. His life's probably perfect.
Right.
And ultimately, that's not the case.
Right. So, you know, first of all, about that, like, if you're listening to this and you have a kid that plays sports or anything that's competitive, because it goes outside of sports too, be aware of more than just your own child. Just look around and listen, shut your mouth once in a while and take in what you're seeing, what you're hearing around the locker room, in the stands, whatever, because you don't have to do much to prevent a situation like I had to deal with for 15 years. You know, you make a phone call to the police and they look into it. It's not like it was when we were kids where your parents would say, you know, that's going on in their house, that's none of our business. Doesn't work like that anymore. So you don't have to get directly involved if you're a parent. Just you know, call the police, let them kind of, you know, take over that way. But anyways, so, you know, I played in the NHL first half of my career. Everything was going great. I was in LA. Things were going well. I had a really good season, top 40 in the league in scoring. So at that point, I felt like I finally proven to myself, to a lot of other people, you know, that I could play, that I was an NHL player.
Yeah.
We had a young core in LA. I get traded. The next year they win the cup. When I got to Edmonton, my first shift was killing a 5-on-3. I never killed a penalty really in my life. I killed a little bit in LA, but it would be at the end where you try to get an offensive guy out there, whatever. So I go to an organization that, first of all, has no idea what they even traded for. And we were garbage. We're struggling. Noodles, you know, you were coaching against me at that time.
Yeah.
And everything, you know, off the ice for me started to get worse and worse and worse. So, you know, another year goes by, and finally I go to Tambellini, who's a GM in Edmonton. And, you know, I say, listen, I got some issues here. I've had them for a long time. Can you get me some help? Like, I need to talk to somebody.
You didn't know what type of help. You just knew someone had to step in. You had to talk to somebody about what was going on here.
Yeah. And it had gotten to the point where I didn't care that I was in the NHL. Like, I had a tough time going to the rink. I felt like I had already proved what I wanted to prove.
Yeah.
In my mind, you know, as far as, you know, playing in the league and having, you know, a couple good years, I just signed a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
So I had money. I knew I'd have money if I stopped playing that day. And I ended up hating hockey at that point. And I knew that wasn't doing it for me anymore. So I asked for help. A month later, I got traded. And that happened in the summertime. And, you know, I ended up playing another 3 or 4 years. And I played a year in Finland in my career.
Yeah.
And halfway through that year, I had to go home because I just couldn't do it anymore. So, you know, the point of my story is that, you know, people can seem like they're successful, and this happens in all walks of life, as everybody knows, but there's oftentimes things going on that people, they don't know how to share. Maybe they don't truly understand why they're struggling or what's wrong. And I just found that either nobody cared to help me or nobody even wanted to ask a question. When I was drafted, I had 28 meetings. Most guys at the combine have like 15.
Was that because you think they knew about your background?
They did know, because I did a story my draft year. Super agent Pat Morris thought it would be a good idea to do a story in ESPN the magazine. I think it ended up hurting me more than it helped. But so all these teams knew. I slipped to late in the second round. I was supposed to go higher. Was rated higher all year. So all these teams knew, and everywhere I went, I was just good enough that he's all right, you know. So it got to the point for me with hockey where that wasn't making me happy. I had a great wife. I had a son at that point. That wasn't making me happy. I had to get away from hockey.
Yeah.
So, Sully, when you asked for help in Edmonton, what was the response or feedback from that? Just actually, that's not our department, or?
Oh, it was actually radio silence. So you guys know how it is. I brought this up at the end of their meeting. I had a bad season. We had finished last in the league that year. And I had a year left on my deal. And I knew it was a turning point. You guys know how you get to that point where, like, you need to get going again, or you're looking at not having a job. So I brought it up. I figured, look, this is a good time to get everything out in the open. We were going to have that's when we drafted Taylor Hall. So it was obvious we were going to have to rebuild. And so I looked right at Tambellini, and you would have thought I pulled a gun out of my pocket and pointed at him. The way he looked at me, like, that's not up to us.
Yeah, it's not his department type of thing.
So how do you think, what would be in the best interest of the league? Because if the GMs are going to be uncomfortable in that position, you know,
they shouldn't be, though.
Right, but I think that might be human nature, right? So from your standpoint, and you going public with this, I could see where some players might say, you know what, I don't know how this is going to affect my career if I do speak with the GM. Do you think it is logistically possible to set up like an HR department like they have in every other business around the world? Is that possible in hockey, or would you trust that person wouldn't eventually send that up the chain?
I think most guys wouldn't trust, but it, you know, when you get to the point where I was at, I didn't really care.
Right.
At that point, I needed help.
So when
I thought that somebody, I was looking at somebody that had my best interest in mind, because it's the same guy who's paying me a lot of money to play hockey, and if I had had an injury the last game of the season, they would have taken care of me until they absolutely knew that whatever the injury was fine.
Right.
Yeah.
So if I get traded to a new team and I've had a history of back injuries, I see their new doctor. This is talked about all summer to make sure, come training camp at my new team, I'm all set up. But if somebody has had depression, or if that was brought up, or any of the other, you know, mental illnesses that you may or may not have, it's like they look at you like you're a leper.
Do you sense that there's more support there now because maybe it's out in the light? Like I know I've been through a couple things with friends in the league that the PA has that support system, but the one thing that they always, I guess, lack of better words, complain about is it you need to be strong enough, like you did, to go to somebody to ask for help. They don't chase you around. Like, they don't go out of their way to I think if
they're not seeking
they
the
know,
players that need the help.
You may know it's there, but some guys don't ask for that help.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you did ask for help, and they didn't direct you or at least try and get you in the down the right avenue, which to me is
there's not
that's negligence.
Yeah, there's not enough. First of all, there's not enough available.
Right.
And I know exactly how all of this works now. After I retired, took me a long time to figure out what I was going to do, what treatment I needed, and I tried to go through the PA. They're mostly useless. Okay, they have a couple doctors.
Oh, once you retire, there you're like, well,
yeah. I actually didn't get a call from the PA until like 16 months after I retired, and that's because I was starting to make noise, not because they were interested in trying to help me. They have a couple doctors. If you don't go through them, they won't help you. I actually tried therapy a couple times in my career, traditional therapy, where you sit on a couch, you look across from the person, the therapist, there's a Kleenex box on the table, it's just like you see on TV, and they go, how are you feeling, or what's wrong? And I say, nothing, because I can lie, because I lied my whole life. I had to turn my emotions off as a kid to survive, and now I can do it to anybody, do it to my wife, anybody.
Right.
So none of that stuff worked, so I finally, you know, I got to the point where I had to figure something else out. By chance, I stumbled onto a doctor in L.A., that treats veterans, military people. And as soon as I saw him, it was like instantly I knew this is what I needed. I have PTSD, basically. So I never really struggled with depression in the traditional sense. But, yeah, so, like, to answer the question of there's not enough out there and there's not enough people willing to help. And I think that's mainly because they're not educated. So if I'm a GM and I don't know what to say, I'm not going to say anything. Mm-hmm. Maybe I want to help, but I don't know how.
Right.
That's what has to change.
Well, I think you're spot on, and I think you're obviously, you know, you're on a crusade here that's going to help a lot of people. And I think you speaking out is obviously something you should be commended for. And I think it's a tough story, but you got the stones to step up here and speak about it. So
I appreciate it. I try to share as much as I can, and I've met and spoke with so many people since I came, you know, my book came out and I've started talking publicly, that it needs more attention, and I try to bring as much to it as I can.
Well, we appreciate it, Sully, and visit bell.ca/letstalk to really get involved that much more. Thanks for popping in. We'll catch you in the pregame
in
about 12 minutes.
Thank you.
There's Patrick O'Sullivan again. He's coming up with Jim Taddy in about 12, 15 minutes with the pregame. Leafs Wings tonight. Puck drop just after 7 p.m. It is Bell Let's Talk Day, so we appreciate Patrick coming in here. And
no, it's a great book, too. I've read the book.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I say,
it's an important
story. Hope that the one thing he should know is he's got a lot of support around here.
Absolutely.
And I think
does.
There's, you know, education is helping everything. It's like anything. Education can help. So,
there's a lot of people helping out right now.
Exactly.
Including a couple of guys who have now joined us in studio. And Babsox has a new special, Cam H Purple Babsox. We're all wearing it today for Bell Let's Talk Day. And 100% of the proceeds go to Cam H. That is the Center for Addiction and Mental Health. And our main men, Jake and Tom from Babsox, are in here. We haven't seen you guys in a while. Thanks for popping in.
Oh, thanks for having us, boys.
Thanks, boys. It's a pleasure.
Thanks for doing this today, too. I mean, you guys have really been involved, and I think fact that you're pumping 100% of the proceeds in for a kind of a startup company, I think really says a lot about you guys. Tell us why you wanted to get involved.
Well, I think for the first of all, the reason we want to do 100% of the proceeds is because we also want the purple to be recognizable for people around the city, that when you're pulling up your purple Babsox, they know that these are for Cam H. and that they're they're representing, you know, good mental health and ending the stigma. So we think that doing it this way is really a way to sort of engage that symbolism behind the sock. And the reason we chose mental health and CAMH, I mean, partly Babs is a big spokesperson for mental health, and he's done some gigs with CAMH as well. So it seemed like a natural fit. And it's also just a hugely important issue in hockey right now. And we're a Toronto brand, but we're also a hockey brand. We thought CAMH does a great job representing the city. It's a big issue in hockey, so it's a great fit.
It's a great idea. Yeah, it's a great idea. And we can't thank you guys enough for getting involved, not only today, but you've been great to the show. And,
I know.
They've got some good-looking ladies wearing the socks today.
Yeah, we had Carol Wagner rocking the
Kate
socks.
Had
Kate,
some on.
Natasha was wearing them, I think.
Yeah. All of our favorites.
Yeah, you got a lot of good things going around here, man.
Scrubs putting them on.
We're not going to sell them for you.
We got the truck in the back for O-Dog, by the way, with like the 100,000 pairs or something, so he's good for life.
He literally wears them every single day. Literally wears them every day, and I wear them a lot, too. I love them. They're great socks, and... it's good to have you guys in here because usually around this time we get to the three stars, right?
Yeah.
And we figured with you guys in here, you guys could take charge. So let's get to the Overdrive three stars of the day, brought to you by Babs Socks.
Overdrive three stars of the day.
All right, boys, take it away. What do you have?
All right, I'll take the third star, and I'm going to give it to our boy Casey Shanks. He's been running around the city like a madman, getting these purple CAMH Babs socks.
He's loving that.
Into the right hands.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Casey's a happy guy.
He's a gentleman, so
good
he's
man.
Been good to us.
There's a third star right there.
Second star of the day, Michael Landsberg. I don't think this movement would be anywhere near where it is without his incredible hard work.
Mm-hmm.
It's an honor to have him support what we're doing today. So second star of the day, Michael Landsberg. And first star of the day, CAMH, Center for Addiction and Mental Health. They do great work down there. Lydia, Jeffrey, Karen, shout out to you guys. Thanks for everything. You guys are the best.
Great
Keep
call.
Up the good work.
Absolutely.
Good
awesome.
Anyone that's been using the hashtag Bell Let's Talk and calling or texting or...
Sully coming in. Like
Sully.
So many first stars out there.
Yeah, it's. It really is one of those days where
I said it earlier
you realize
too,
the power of people.
Yeah, you got to make it more than just one day.
Exactly. Yep. Roll it through the whole year. Get it. I mean, this is a great day to focus on it, but...
Keep
Let's
it
get
rolling.
Some momentum on him. And should we throw AJ McCarron's girlfriend in there?
And Brett Musburger,
Brett
maybe?
Musburger, like,
slide
I forgot Musburger. What was I thinking? Forgetting Musburger.
How could you not include Musburger?
That's the last time I forget Musburger.
You got to include him. The Overdrive three stars of the day is brought to you by Babs Socks. Call for a change, help, and the stigma around mental illness. Purple Babs Socks are here with 100% the proceeds supporting CAMH. And give us some more plugs. For the website and for where we can find the socks?
The website is www.babsocks.ca. The Bab Shop is up on 553 Mount Pleasant, just north of Davisville.
That's my hood, man.
And
I love that spot.
Babs came by the shop, right?
Yeah.
Did he not?
Yeah, that was great. He brought the wife and kids as well up to say hello and just sort of see what on earth could be going on in there. And it's funny because he's always barking on the bench. He's got a certain demeanor as a coach. But with us, he's just been so good-humored.
That's great.
Funny, gracious. We can't say enough about how grateful we are to
him. Well, let's get a win tonight for the boys in Detroit.
Big game.
Leafs Wings, the pregame coming up here in just a moment. Puck drop just after 7 p.m. Jake and Tom joining us from Babs Socks. We appreciate everything you guys are doing. Thanks for popping in here. Good seeing
Thanks,
you guys.
Thanks, boys, for everything. Appreciate it.
You got it.
Goalies,
there they are.
Go.
Well, you can help us with this. We're out of here. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.